Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Red Hot Comic Book Movie News.
Make the news of the Earth.
Defenders. The Weekly Planet. The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where I talk. It's just me.
But this week, and I'm... listeners. If you know what's good for you, you'll listen. Listen up and listen good.
You owe us that.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's right.
We talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is Jems, also known as Mr. Sunday. And with me as always is someone who's also worth listening to. And you will listen.
You will listen. You will sit there.
Yeah.
Or continue your jog. Or be at work and ignore everything around you.
Yep.
Or be at the gym.
Yep.
And you will like it.
Yep. You're Nick Mason.
Hello. It's great to be here.
Certainly is, Mason. Just before we get into everything, and why wouldn't we, Mason?
Go on.
I've got some sad news up top, unfortunately.
Yes.
With the passing of Lance Reddick.
Yes, that's right.
Who apparently died of natural causes at the age of 61. He was missing some press events a few days prior to all the John Wick 4 stuff that's coming up. That'll be out this week. So
we'll come back
next week. And unfortunately was found in his hotel room non-responsive, which is just... terrible.
Very
news,
very talented Mason. Guy. Absolutely delightful by all accounts. He was for if you don't know, he was Cedric Daniels on The Wire.
Mm-hmm.
He was, of course, John Wick's quartermaster in the John Wick movies.
Absolutely.
And in between, just a bunch of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Just whatever he wanted to do, he would get in there and crush it. He was a big fan of Destiny.
The video game?
Yeah, he's in it.
Yeah, because he was in a few video games.
But he was also he played it a lot and was just like very in with the fan community. He was playing it apparently like the day before he died.
Oh, really?
Like he wasn't just like one of those people who was like, yeah, I'm a huge fan of this and whatever. Like he would like, you know, join in quests with regular people, and you know, if he met people on the street, they would ask him to, you know, some people get you to do the voice memo or the you know, in character or what have you, you know. So
that's awesome.
But yeah, if you haven't seen him, watch him in The Wire. Obviously, he's in John Wick.
Yeah,
he made a bunch of appearances on Comedy Bang Bang, doing various bizarre stuff.
Absolutely.
Now, as always, when you know somebody talented and liked passes, you'll see a lot of clips and stuff on YouTube of some of their stuff. But yeah, like he's one of those guys who had, because he has that gravitas. He's like Andre Brower on The Wire.
Yeah,
he can just say the most ridiculous stuff, and it has that.
Yeah.
Have you seen? There was a bit on Comedy Bang Bang where this band leader sidekick Reggie Watts has to get the tweets of the week, and so he goes into the cyberverse and it's like a Tron world.
Okay,
and Lance Reddick is Angel Fire, and he's a Tron, like an evil Tron guy who's stolen all the tweets of the week, and they go on like a hoverboard chase.
I haven't seen that at all.
I'll send it to you. I'll find a copy and I'll send it to you.
Unreal.
But it's very silly. But in the Eric Andre show.
Of course, that went around this week a lot, which is a lot of fun and terrifying as well.
Yeah.
As well. Well, of course, people would know him from like Fringe, from Lost. He's in Horizon Zero Dawn. He's voicing Hellboy in that upcoming Hellboy
video game.
So yeah, a lot of really, really good, interesting, fun stuff. And again, like you said, by all accounts, a really nice guy. And just like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Again, it's never a bad guy, you know?
Absolutely.
You're never like, great, that's a good one this week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's always this, something terrible. So, yeah, there you go. But again, like, what a great body of work and what a wonderful person by all accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mason, before we get to the news of the week, which is going to be, get this, big Marvel leaks and how they're closing in on us.
Oh, is there?
That's right.
That's exciting.
Quentin, maybe. Maybe not for you.
All the leaks I done.
Quentin Tarantino's final movie seems to have been decided.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So he says.
That's true. Ben Affleck not joining the DC directing universe.
Somebody said he was.
James Gunn directing Superman. Zack Snyder teasing something Snyderverse related. And then, of course, we're going to be getting into Shazam, Fury of the Gods. The big movie of the week, Mason. It might be the biggest movie of the week.
Big time movie. Yeah. Hey, here's one.
Oh, I just wanted to quickly say as well, I'm on a podcast this week.
That's right.
It came out on Sunday. Confessions, formerly known as Confessions of the Idiots by Sam Peterson. It's a really funny show where people, where he finds like weird confessions off Reddit and then he like recounts them to us and we decide what is the best thing for that person. Normally it's for them to go away and stop doing the thing they're doing.
You give good advice.
That's right. It was me and Sam and Kirsty Webeck, who's an amazing comedian also, and it's just a really fun time if people want to check that out. She's also touring at the moment if you're interested in checking that out.
Comedy Festival's coming up. Maybe next week I'll give some Comedy Festival recommendations. Ooh. Oh, that reminds me. I'll be at a couple of things for Comedy Festival.
Oh, you're going to be in things?
Yeah, I'll be on Matt Stewart's podcast, a live version of Matt's.
Who knew it?
Who knew it with Matt Stewart. I think it's the weekend of the 8th and 9th. So one of these days I'm doing Who Knew It with Matt Stewart. Mm-hmm. And on the other day, I'm doing a podcast called Dice Paper Roll, which is a role-playing game, a role-playing live situation. Just look those up at comedyfestival.com.au. I'll be there on those dates.
I've never heard of that particular podcast.
Too bad.
Oh, sorry. Great. Good stuff.
Hang on, I'll find the actual dates. We'll find it. It's going to be great.
Well, they'll be linked below, right?
They'll probably be linked below. Here we go, James. So on Saturday, April the 8th, I'll be doing Dice Paper Roll. And then Sunday, April 9th, I'll be doing Who Knew It with Matt Stewart. Ooh. And those are like afternoon gigs. So you want to get in there and then have dinner in the city afterwards. Why wouldn't you?
I don't want to have dinner.
Maybe I'll join you. I won't leave.
Me?
Yep.
All right. That'd be great.
Terrific.
Anyway, there's time codes below if people want to jump around to any particular topic.
How about this? Here's one bit of news.
What's that?
Or maybe one big-time lie.
Yep.
Tom Cruise asked David Zaslav if he could watch The Flash and he loved it. This is from Discussing Film and also The Hollywood Reporter.
This is true.
Cruise called Andy Muschietti to tell him this is the kind of movie we need now. Is it true?
Is it the kind of movie we need now?
I mean, we won't know that until it comes out and we can make
maybe it'll be too late by the time it comes. Maybe Tom Cruise is like, we need this now.
We need this right. You need to bump the release date up. Oh, it's too late. Now Xenu's come. He's going to destroy the world.
He's got a laser gun.
You should have released it earlier and Xenu would have been pleased, but now he's displeased. He's going to kill you all with his laser, the big laser.
He has a laser.
From his ship.
Yeah, he does.
And he's got one on his ship and a handheld one. Typical. He's got two lasers.
Typical.
Yeah. Because if you think you're going to sneak past the laser on the ship and get on the ship, he's got a laser in his
hand. It's naive. He
might even have a laser in his throne.
Yeah.
He might have a scepter.
Bother.
That's a short-range thing. No, it's got a laser in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he liked The Flash.
He liked The Flash, apparently.
Yeah.
It led a conversation with Warner Brothers Discovery CEO David Zaslav led to a private screening for Cruise at his Beverly Hills home.
Very good.
Does he even still live in Beverly Hills?
I don't know. Yes.
It's a mystery, isn't it? I don't know if this is true. How do you think this is true?
Well, what's the source?
Well, I mean, the source apparently is, it says sources tell The Hollywood Reporter. I'm not saying that this hasn't been leaked to The Hollywood Reporter.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is it more a case of, because
who's someone we can get to say this is good?
That's what I'm saying.
Mr. Movies,
Mr. Hollywood himself.
Yeah.
Somebody's called in a favor and said, hey, Tom Cruise, you know how you were in a massively well-regarded movie recently?
Yeah.
Could you say The Flash is the future of movies and you love it? We'll do anything you want.
Yeah. I feel like also he's got such a carefully crafted like PR team. No one would ever get close enough to him or be able to ask this any specific questions about the movie if he hasn't seen it.
They'd be zapped by the laser on his throne, wouldn't
they? That's true, they would.
So, yeah.
That's great stuff. Mm. Well, it's not bad news for The Flash, is it, Mason?
No.
Tom Cruise says he loves it.
Copy of the movie was sent over.
Yeah.
Warner's employee brought the movie to Cruise's home in Beverly Hills and stayed until the actor finished watching The Flash.
Oh, that's nice.
It is unclear on what format Cruise watched it, whether it was digital or film. When Cruise finished, the movie was given back to the messenger who returned it to the studio. He was so taken that by what he saw that he reached out to Muschietti. It was a call out of the blue. He raved about the movie, saying something to the effect is, The Flash is everything you want in a movie.
Great.
Yeah.
That's really good to know.
Yeah.
And is true.
Yeah.
You know, Mason.
Go on.
You know how you're the one who leaked all that Ant-Man stuff to Reddit?
Yeah.
And you thought up until now that you'd got away with it.
Zero consequences, baby. I'll never die.
I'm also joking about the fact that you leaked it, but you know who did. And that is true. Right? So if anybody from Disney or Marvel is okay, out there, right, this is the man you want to speak to.
Perhaps if ASIO, Australia's security services, or the federal police want to knock on my door.
That'd be great.
To be clear, I do not know.
Yeah, good one. But listen, Mason.
Even if somebody emailed in and we talked about it on the podcast, I've forgotten. So what it would be is the federal police would knock on my door and they'd be like, what about this? And I'd be like, I don't know, I'll check the emails. Yeah. I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot of emails about tax relief in here. I don't get it.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Spook your stomach. Yes, some say.
Ultimate tax relief.
Yeah, anyway, via comicbookmovie.com, there was an article earlier this week, and this is widely reported, that there is a Reddit page called Marvel Studio Spoilers, and it just posts. I've been there before, but I try not to because it just outright spoils movies with, like, leaked images. And in this case, there was, like, 65 pages of a 65-page document, which is just like a bunch of dialogue, which was just word for word in the movie Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania.
He's behind me, isn't he? Kang? Yes.
He is actually behind you. So Disney filed a copyright.
In the quantum realm.
Yes.
He's behind me, Kang. Yes, in the quantum realm, which is where we are.
Where we are, so this is bad news. But Disney filed a copyright takedown, and this page has been shut down. Ooh. And Disney Marvel have actually filed legal documents seeking a subpoena in an attempt to identify the individual who leaked the script of Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania.
It was me!
That's what I was saying. THR also saying...
I've regained my confidence. I'm a bad little boy. I'm leaking everything. You'll never get me.
Well, you say that. The Hollywood Reporter have mentioned that they are closing in on the individual.
Oh, no. But again, what confidence it's got again.
Mason's just joking he didn't leak it, but he does know who did. Isn't that right?
No.
I think it's cool. I think it's cool how, like, you're kind of a rebel.
No, see, I think it would only be cool if it was me. I would claim it if it was me, but I wouldn't claim it if I knew the guy. Because that's more complicated for me.
Sure.
If it was me, sure, I'll get arrested. But I don't want to get arrested for some other guy.
No, you're not getting arrested. You're just getting tortured.
Oh, okay. Well, not by Disney.
Yeah, by Disney.
That's the worst.
That's right.
I'll get water park boarded.
Oh, that's very good.
The worst kind.
Yeah, it's Splash Mountain, but you go up it backwards.
Yeah, and they put a blanket over your head. I watched Shazam today, and there was an ad, of course, for Warner Brothers Movie World, which is Hollywood on the Gold Coast, as
absolutely,
you know. And they do.
There's a, in our latest Caravan of Garbage, there's some photos of me as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Who I hung out there, Mason, had a great time.
That's
meeting
right.
Batman and Catwoman.
Yeah,
go on.
With your three home haircuts, you and your brothers. Anyway.
How did you know?
Anyway, they're doing the ads for the Warner Brothers Movie World, and they show you there's, like, you know, a parade down Main Street of all the colourful Warner Brothers characters.
Woo!
And they still have the Jim Carrey Batman Riddler.
Do they?
From Batman
Forever.
They don't
have the Paul Dano garbage bag.
That's what I'm saying. They upgrade it.
I mean, why would they?
He can still have still give him, like, the question mark cane or whatever, but he'd like, everybody else is dancing and jumping around and somersaulting, and he just slowly shuffles down the street, and he's like, one day real rain will come and kill everybody in Gotham.
I'd like to see him, like, live streaming to all these incel fans, and he's just, like, shouldered a rifle.
Yep.
He's heading down. Yeah. His head all taped up with a garbage bag. Great stuff, Mason.
Mm.
This is by THR also.
Ooh.
Quentin Tarantino's final movie is apparently a lock. Of course,
uh-oh,
he said, I'm only going to do 10 movie. And this is it. This will be the last one because he considers Kill Bill 1 and 2 one movie. So it's technically 11 movies.
Mm.
So it's going to be called The Movie Critic. And the movie will take place in Los Angeles? Angeles.
Yeah, Angeles. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the
Anglesey?
In the late.
It's going to take place in Anglesey.
Anglesey, good. In the late 1970s.
Oh.
And we'll follow a female lead character. Now, it's possible this story will focus on Pauline Kael, one of the most influential movie critics of all time. And in the late 1970s, she had a very brief tenure working as a consultant for Paramount, a position she accepted at the behest of actor Warren Beatty. So apparently they had, like, there was some situation happened there, and I don't know the specifics of it, but presumably at the end one of them will cave the other one's head in.
Absolutely,
this will
yeah
be an alternate look at history.
Pauline Kael and Warren Beatty will team up to... I don't know, fight Nazis or
each other.
Yeah, maybe.
So, yeah.
Oh, you think it'll be a...
Yeah.
Okay.
It's interesting that his final movie is another love letter to Hollywood when his last one was a love letter to Hollywood.
He's
I mean, I guess he did, like, two Westerns in a row.
Yeah,
and
he's just
and there's,
loving...
like, Pulp Fiction and, you know, and Reservoir Dogs and Jackie Brown are kind of in that same kind of vibe. So,
yeah, right.
Yeah, I guess he's loving these old Hollywood situations. Here's a question for you, though.
Go on.
Do you know who leaked that stuff to the Reddit for real, though?
Yeah.
Yeah. And second thing, do you think this is true that he's going to quit?
No.
Do you think he's going to – I mean, do you think he'll get around it by doing like, this is a streaming series? Oh, this is a movie, but it's not technically a movie because it's something else. He'll think of another word.
Oh, I see.
I can't think of another word, but he could think of another word.
I mean –
he's not retiring, no, right? Well, he'll do – I'm sure he'll write as well. He writes like books and stuff.
I mean, he's been in that zeitgeist for a long time, you know.
Yeah.
So maybe he's just like, how many has it been? 10.
Okay. What a move, though, to just be like, I quit.
Because
he knows. I mean, he's seen it before, and he's talked about how nobody stays on top forever. You know,
maybe not even podcasts. Maybe he finally agrees to do a Marvel movie, and he just tanks it. Like he spends $500 million of their movie, and it gives him something unusable.
That's
his revenge.
Why not?
Have we talked about that?
Oh, how...
Like he's got a huge beef with Marvel and Disney for a long
time. It was Disney
time.
Because they kept The Hateful Eight out of cinemas or they...
Yeah.
Because when it was, came out the same time as The Force Awakens.
That's the one,
and
yeah.
And that just took up every screen and he was...
Yeah, because he wanted to put the Hateful Eight... Well, he did. He arranged for The Hateful Eight to be at a place called the Arclight.
Yeah.
Because they have a 70mm projector and that's how it's meant to be seen and et cetera.
I saw it on a TV.
Nice.
Yeah, anyway, go on.
What kind of TV was it?
I don't know.
Nice.
I wasn't even.
That's
I
what
was,
he. That's,
I was mostly on my phone.
Okay.
And that's cinema.
That's cinema, baby. But anyway, Disney went to the ArcLight and was like, "We want to extend the running of Force Awakens for a few more weeks to blah blah blah." And obviously, we want all your screens. And they were like, "Well, of course, you can have all the screens except for the ones of the hate we've arranged for the Hateful Eight." And then they were like, "Well, if you don't bump the Hateful Eight for this." For a few more weeks of The Force Awakens, you'll never get another Disney movie.
Yeah,
and so they had to, and now he's mad at it. So
yeah, fair
I
enough.
Say he could. What he should do, he should do his 10, and then he should be like, "Yeah, I'm gonna direct Black Panther 3," and then he just spends all of their money, and then he just gives them nothing.
And it's rude.
And it's rude. Yeah. It's rude. The worst crime of all. Disney, a rude movie?
Oh,
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, they've released a Boston Strangler series on Disney Plus.
I think it's just a movie.
Is it?
Well,
okay.
It's on Hulu.
I see, right.
In Australia. I think it's a movie. I don't know. The important thing is here's something that's also a movie. But
at least
really.
He's not rude, that Boston Strangler.
Hey, well, yeah, he's got a certain decorum is what you're saying.
Mm.
This is from Hollywood Reporter also, Mason.
Go on.
Ben Affleck said, "I would not direct something from James Gunn's DC." Absolutely not. I have nothing against James Gunn. Nice guy. Sure, he's going to do a great job. I just wouldn't want to go in and direct the way they're doing that. I'm not interested in that. So James Gunn has tweeted about how he's been talking to Ben Affleck about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and obviously if this is true, but who knows if it is, because, you know, people can come around and money and you find the right project or whatever. But he also talked about when he quit Batman and how, like, it was just really depressing and doing that Justice League reshoots was, like, the worst thing ever and it drove him to drink. And it ended up being, his whole family fell apart.
That interview is fascinating. People should get on that. But he talks about how Snyder was just like, "Come into my backyard and we'll film, we'll put the back suit on." And he's like, "What are we doing?" And he's like, "I don't know. We'll figure it out."
Wait, this is for the Reed thing?
I'm
talking about the
Whedon
stuff.
Oh,
Whedon's like,
right.
"I got this," but then he's like,
"I don't know if I got this." Actually.
So, yeah, but he said he was great in the new Flash movie. That's good. The one that's not out yet, that's a good one and we should go see it.
Yeah, Tom Cruise, he's highly recommended.
I've heard that. I've heard that. And by Xenu, I hope he's correct. Mason, this is why James Gunn direct on
Twitter.
We're
going to have everybody after us after this episode.
Good, I hope so.
Yeah.
I'm going to burn all bridges.
Nice.
And then we'll make a run at Hollywood to direct a Marvel movie.
Yeah, terrific.
Me and you.
They'll never see it coming.
So James Gunn took to Twitter. This is after last week where Comic Pop broke the news. Ooh. Sal over at Comic Pop that he's going to be directing a Superman movie. And this is what he said. "Yes, I'm directing Superman Legacy to be released on July 11th, 2025. My brother..."
Kisses to the haters, he said.
we got some hater stuff later that he talks about.
Hello.
We'll get into Shazam. But he said, "My brother Matt told me when he saw the release date, he started to cry."
How many brothers does this guy have?
Too many is what you're saying?
It's got at least two.
I agree. I asked him why and he said, "Dude, it's dad's birthday." I hadn't realized. Doesn't even know his dad's birthday.
Wow.
Yeah. And I lost my dad almost 3 years ago. He was my best friend. He didn't understand me as a kid, but he supported my love of comics and my love of film, and I wouldn't be making this movie now without him. Isn't that cool? So because sometimes you might not connect with your kid, Mason. You know that about me. I'm never even – we don't see eye to eye on anything.
That's right.
Just constant fighting. But if they want to throw rocks at a train, that's their passion and I let them.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then you're like, you're the train. Throw rocks at them.
That's right.
See how the train feels, you say.
No, I think
that's at my request.
Yeah. But I love hearing stuff like that where like a parent's like, I don't get it, but whatever.
He's got three brothers.
There you go.
And one cousin. Maybe more cousins, but there are
one cousin?
There are four notable names in his Wikipedia that all yep. have blue writing. Sean, Matt, Brian, and Mark.
There you go. Anyway, support your kids, is what I'm saying. Sure. In all their endeavors. He said, it's been a long road to this point. I was offered Superman years ago. I initially said no because I didn't have a way that felt unique and fun and emotional that gave Superman the dignity he deserved. Then a bit less than a year ago, I saw a way in many ways centering around Superman's heritage, where how both his aristocratic Kryptonian parents and his Kansas farmer parents inform who he is and the choices he makes. So I chose to take on writing the script, but I was hesitant to direct despite the constant pestering by Peter Safran and others to commit.
So, Come on, James. Just direct a movie for us, James.
Just do a big tentpole movie for us, James.
James, just do a thing that nobody's ever really successfully fully done before.
Just do it.
Just do it. It's easy. I'd do it, but I hurt my leg.
That's it? Just because I write something doesn't mean I feel it in my bones visually and emotionally enough to spend 2 years directing it, especially not something of this magnitude. But the long and the short of it is I love this script and I'm incredibly excited as we begin this journey. Hashtag up, up and away.
Oh, very good.
I think this is good news. Yeah. I think if you also watch his journey as a filmmaker, uh-huh. He's put more since not all of his projects, but there is more sincerity, as you see, kind of filter into his
work.
Yeah,
well, I mean, as soon as this announcement happened, I saw a lot of people on the socials being like, oh, this guy, Mr. Quips over here, is he going to do...
Is he, though?
I don't think he is, no. But I feel like, you know, it's suggesting that he's only got one gear, I think is not true, or, you know, or that it's going to be sassy Marvel the whole time through, and I don't think it is.
Yeah. I think that those Guardians movies and Peacemaker as well and Suicide Squad, that stuff like stands above everything else kind of in that genre, I feel. Yeah. So, yeah, there you go. I think this is good news. Anything can be good or bad though. And it's let's true. Wait to see what Tom Cruise thinks and then we can all pass judgment.
What if he's like not as good as The Flash? I've seen it. And
this is
not...
the wrong time for this movie. You know when the right time is? Never. God, Tom Cruise, you're never this mean.
Settle down, Tom Cruise. God, he's up a bit, mate. He used to be so chill.
Did he?
No. No.
This is the last bit of news, Mason. In a tweet with the caption, full circle, Zack Snyder posted a video that said, incoming transmission from Lord Darkseid.
Oh.
And it said, save the date, April 28th to 30th.
Is it his wedding? Is it Darkseid's wedding?
Save the date.
Wow.
And then it says you check off chicken or fish.
Great.
Yeah.
Or abstain.
Abstain. There's going to be a wishing well on the night if you want to give us some money as a gift.
Wow.
The best gift is money, Mason.
He's marrying Metron and I think that's beautiful.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's true, yeah.
How long have they been together?
Yes.
Yeah.
An eternity, I think.
Eternity?
Yeah.
It's a bit late.
Eternity years, I know, right?
Why Finally. Bother at this point?
Yeah.
So save the date between the 28th to the 30th of April of this year. And there was another message that went out that said, MOS, BVS, ZSJL. What could that mean?
The fact that I know what all those acronyms mean and I didn't even have to think about it for a millisecond makes me question a lot of things, honestly.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. For those who don't know, because you're normal, that refers to Matt, the three movies he directed in the Justice and in the DC Snyderverse, Man of Steel, Batman versus Superman, and Zack Snyder's version of Justice League. And so he wrote, "Life is a cycle from birth to death to rebirth."
Life is a cycle. I'm gonna pedal to the shops.
Nice. Get some milk. Do you think?
Yep.
And so the hero's journey is a cycle as well, a continuous journey of growth and transformation. Again, April 28th, 29th, 30th. Now, this could be a screening of some description, could be the announcement of a comic. There's the very slim outsider chance that this is a cinematic
rebirth
or continuation.
Sure.
Look, if you're hyped for that,
yeah.
I don't want to. I would love that for you, but I don't think that's what it is.
There's a very slim chance that Zack Snyder has said, "Listen, I've somehow secured independent funding for the Snyderverse, and also I've independently made an agreement with James Gunn and Peter Zaslav and everybody at Warner Brothers and DC, and we're going to make more Snyderverse movies somehow, and you all get free tickets for supporting me."
That's good.
Yeah, but it's not that. Is
Could
it?
Be.
I think it's a watch-along or something.
Yeah.
And we're going to watch all the movies.
Well, it says, there is the idea that it's continuous, and he does say life is a circle. I don't know.
Mm.
I think it sounds like it's going to be some kind of continuation potentially.
Okay.
But again, I don't think it's
What is that?
Yeah, it could
and
be.
And what would make
could
the
be
fans
a comic, it could be an audio drama.
I don't think the comic's making anybody happy.
Audio drama.
Could be an audio drama.
Don't know. Maybe he sells the script. Like he's got it all like packaged up and he sells it off.
And it's an NFT.
And it's an NFT.
I'm putting some money on it being an NFT.
I think it's too late for NFTs.
I don't know.
Facebook is shutting down NFTs.
I think I saw an ad for some or like a something NFT like yesterday maybe, and I'm like, boy, isn't it too late for NFTs, but they're still giving it a crack.
Did you get one?
Yeah, I got one. Great. Yeah, because, I mean, it's an investment in my future, isn't it?
That's true.
On Twitter, there's been 1,663 tweets in the last hour, hashtag NFTs.
Yeah, but they're all bots.
Yeah, they are all bots.
People trying to sell all the NFTs that they bought.
I feel like it was some kind of, I'll never find it in a trillion years, but it was somebody like some known figure being like, hey, everybody, what about NFTs?
What about them? And everyone just went, boo. Well, yeah, as I said, Facebook are even shutting down NFTs. Mm. And they're the last to everything.
That's true.
You know, they did one thing right a million years ago, and it's just been just awfulness ever since. And by that one thing right, the thing after the thing where it was raiding women. And then they made a social media platform and that was all right for a second, and now it's absolute dog shit. Just an unfucking readable page of dreck. Yeah. All right.
Pretty cool though.
Pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I like it.
Yeah.
We got that Facebook group, Great Mates.
That's the only reason I go on Facebook.
Right. Normally being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Shazam! Fury of the
Gods. Shazam!
Yeah, whoa. Shazam! Fury of the Gods, Mason.
Yes.
It's the budget was reportedly, it was bumped up. It was initially thought to be about $100 million, but now it looks to be more in the realm of $125 million.
The realm of the gods.
Very good. Big jump from the first movie.
Big jump like a god.
Agreed.
Big
Big jump,
Superman,
electricity,
guys,
lightning,
et cetera.
And so forth. Uh-huh. But I guess the difference with that one, I think a big reason why it did well, first of all, it did well better at the box office, which I'll talk about, but especially in comparison to its budget. Like, it wasn't a huge hit.
It's true.
But it didn't cost this much. But this new one opened at $30 million on its US opening weekend, which is even slightly lower than initially thought. Shazam 2019 made $53 million at the box office its opening weekend. So it's big time down on that. Mm-hmm. And Black Adam made $67 million. But I also think Black Adam had a huge marketing push.
Boy, did it.
And even that, like, that's not very not great for
Absolutely.
A movie of that. Like, they wanted $1 billion out of that.
Yeah.
Inexplicably.
Yeah. Marketing for Shazam 2 was bad.
Yeah.
It was just the clip of Zachary Levi going, I just threw a bus at a dragon, and then everybody going, boo.
Stop
that
it.
That was built into the ad. So people going, boo, cut this out.
And they did.
And yeah. And they're like, we will. It's me, David F. Sandberg. I will cut this out.
Well, apparently that was like this picture was locked in like October because the initial release date, this was, of course, in December, was going to go up against Avatar 2. Yeah, I don't – look – it's not doing well, and it doesn't seem like it's going to do well.
But you're suggesting counter-programming.
Maybe.
For people who don't want to see Avatar 2,
which
is no one, because everyone saw it.
Yeah, I know, right? Who knows at this point? Maybe that's a very silly thing to say. But we'll talk about why.
You've got the silly release.
Yes. We'll talk about why it maybe didn't do so well or isn't going to do so well. There was a comment that David Sandberg, who I really like, made on Reddit where he said, it's not like any of this comes as a surprise, as in the box office. Mm-hmm. I saw where this was heading a long time ago. I'll be all right, though. I got paid all my money up front, smiley face. And then he, like, that went around. Mm-hmm. And some people took it
people
as...
People were like, how dare you? Well, people, how dare you disrespect the craft?
I took that as, like, it's not going to do well at the box office.
Mm-hmm.
I never took it as him going, no, this is bad. I made a bad movie. But he went on Twitter and he said, oh, no, this reply on Reddit, taken out of context, was made as a joke and is now being read all the wrong ways. I guess the smiley I added on the original comment didn't do the trick. It was absolutely not a comment on the quality of the film, which I am very proud of. So there you go. What do you think happened here in terms of why this isn't doing great?
Oh, that's a fun addition to what do you think the story was.
Yes.
What happened here?
Yeah.
I think it is not – I don't think it's a comment on the quality of the movie. I think it is – audiences have been the most high-profile movies, superhero movies of the last, 6 months to a year have been bad, and people have been burned and they're like, I don't want to chance it with another one, quite frankly.
That's fair enough.
So I like Black Adam, but I might be the only one. Ant-Man and the Wasp was – Quantumania was fine.
I thought this was better than Quantumania.
I thought it was way better than Quantumania, honestly.
Yeah.
If I may, be so bold.
I'll allow it.
And I'll say it, and you'll listen, all of you. I don't care if you're hanging on bloody one of those thing, you wash the windows of a building, you hang it on the thing,
You don't mind that?
You do the thing with a rope and you go up and down the building.
Okay.
But you'll listen.
Yeah, you've got to hear this.
Yeah. I don't care if you're up on a big girder with all your mates, you're opening your lunch pail, you're just a lunch pail Joe out there opening you, what's the wife put in here? Or the husband, whatever partner you have.
That's fine. Yeah. You don't care?
I don't care.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
I'm glad you don't care.
But you'll listen.
Okay.
You'll take your hard hat off and you'll listen. You'll take your hard hat and your harness off and you will listen.
Just drop them.
Just drop them off the side of a building. Just drop them. Just kick your toolbox off the side of a building and listen, all right?
I don't think you're wrong. I think
about the thing that I said about safety?
No, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
But I also don't think you're wrong about the reasons people aren't going to this. Because, like, the initial word of mouth is not great.
Yeah.
It's like either people are like, yeah, it's fun, to like, I didn't love it as much as the first one. I think also it's probably about 2 years late.
Yes.
And that is reflected in a lot of the cast in this, which we'll talk about. I think also it's got all these kind of remnants of the Snyderverse in it.
Yeah.
But if you're a fan of the Snyderverse, you don't care.
And this is too silly for you.
It's too silly and, like, it's sort of connected and loosely connected, but you know that that's not continuing,
it would seem. Why bother is
so
that?
Why bother?
So, this is a thought I had quite recently, is the obsession with making all these powerfully interconnected means that once the chain is broken, some people are just not going to be interested
Absolutely.
In seeing them anymore. And if one's bad, they're like, well, the next one, since they're all so interconnected, the next one's going to be bad too. And so maybe it's a chain reaction kind of thing.
Absolutely.
I didn't see the last one and I'm definitely not going to see the next one.
For
EG.
For EG, that's a good EG. I think also the fact that this is the end of the DCEU, really. I mean, I know Aquaman
before it even got a name. Before it even officially got a name.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because the next one is The Flash, which reboots everything. And even though Aquaman is like, they've retooled it, so it's part of the newer universe, along with Blue Beetle, which is probably coming out as well.
Ha-ha, good one.
Thank you. I also think that for the character of Shazam, even though I liked it, that movie, I liked it quite a bit, and it was fun, and there's like good jokes and good action.
Which one are you talking about, the first one or the
second? First Shazam, yeah. The 2019 one. Also, like 2019 to now, such a long, like a lot happened.
Yeah.
Like it feels like a million years ago.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. But I think also there's no hardcore fans of that.
Although one character says that it's been 2 years.
That's not true.
Within the canon of the movie, we'll talk about it later. We'll have to talk about it in spoilers. It's been 2 years.
Sure.
It's been longer than that.
But I think this needed to come out sooner to build an audience. And there's no one who's like a
I wish I had more bottle to crack open there. Just
and I don't think there's like hardcore fans of it. You know? It didn't build enough to get there.
Shazammies.
But it's interesting to go back to what you said about the
Zammies.
About the Zammies.
Zammels?
The jewelers.
Yes.
Yeah, about that. No, about how a bunch of like comic book movies aren't great, so why would you go? This is from Daniel the Temp on Twitter, who says, pretty wild that the DCEU might become the first ever film franchise to release 5 consecutive box office bombs. And this is not including Joker or the Batman, which is in a separate et cetera universe.
Sure.
Because before this we had Black Adam, which was a bomb. And none of this is a reflection on the quality, right? Yeah. Black Adam was a – that one is though. Black it was fine.
Yeah.
Black Adam was a bomb. The Suicide Squad, which I really liked, was a bomb. Again, that came out in COVID and whatever. But it still bombed. Bombed hard. Before that was Zack Snyder's Justice League. Doesn't count because it went to streaming and whatever. But so that's not part of the 5. Then it was Wonder Woman 84, which bombed. But again, that was also released to streaming.
And it was really bad.
And it was bad.
Did you know Scream 6 was released to streaming same day?
Was it?
You can get it on YouTube now.
Scream 6.
Yeah.
The latest Scream.
Yeah. It's on YouTube. Buy or rent. I'm like, oh, I should have stayed home. I mean, I liked it, but I'm, you know.
I don't think it is. Oh, Scream 5 is.
It was on my telly.
Your telly lied to you.
Wow, I got lied to by my telly.
Wouldn't be the
Maybe
bloody,
this was a leak.
Wouldn't be the first time. And then before.
What does that mean? No, it's not important.
And then before that, it was Birds of Prey.
Uh-huh.
So that's 5 bombs in a row.
Scream 6, buy or rent.
But yeah, I bet you if you click on it, it will give you a date. And it'll
I see, right.
Available, whatever.
Okay, let's have a look.
You've been tricked by a
no?
screen again. Rent you can watch it literally.
Right now.
I don't believe you.
Wow.
Click on it.
But I don't want to buy it.
Let me check.
HD Rental doesn't say it'll be available in 6 years or whatever. So no, I went home from recording the podcast and I'm like, huh, there you go.
Is it on all the torrent sites or whatever?
Don't know.
I guess it wouldn't be. I don't think this is real.
All right.
I think you can just get ahead of it.
Oh, it'd say release date.
Yeah,
otherwise it'd be tricked.
But I know this didn't go day and date. I'm gonna look at it.
Well, I guess I just live a charmed life.
It's not in Amazon.
That's interesting.
I don't know. Maybe you're right. Anyway, good news on Scream, I guess.
Also, I wonder about this. It's been so long since Shazam 1.
Yeah,
there would be I feel there would be a whole new generation of moviegoers. And the last thing they saw with a bunch of characters with like that scale armor and the lightning bolt in the chest was Black Adam.
That's
so
true.
So there might be a bunch of people, like, you know, young kids, teenagers, you know, want to get their parents to take them to the movies, or they're just going to the movies themselves for the first time. And the first big superhero movie they saw on the big screen was Black Adam.
Yeah.
And then they see this and they're like, oh, is this in the Black Adam universe? No, thank you.
Yuck and no.
Yuck and no, please.
I want to talk about that specifically in a minute, but I want you to tell me what you think the story was.
Okay. This isn't as much fun as what happened.
It's not often we do like up to like around 10 minutes on. How did we get here with this?
What happened? All right, so it's Philadelphia. Go Philly cheesesteaks. Go the Philly cheesesteaks.
Go the Philly Flyers.
And the Shazam.
Go the movie Philadelphia starring Tom Hanks and Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
Woo.
Woo. The Shazam family, they're all going around saving people in Philly and doing an okay job, I guess. All right.
It's been 2 years, apparently.
It's been only a mere two years, but They're doing all right, and they're still living in their little maid family in a little house, and that's pretty cool.
It's a cool house.
But then look out, because they're where they get the powers. Maybe somebody else wants their powers. They're Ooh. Like, you shouldn't have those powers. We should have those powers. What do you think about that? We're going to take your powers. I'm Helen Mirren,
and
Lucy Liu,
and
who knows who else. Diedrich Bader is in this movie.
Diedrich Bader is in this.
Yeah. He's the voice of Batman sometimes.
He sometimes is. Mm-hmm. He was in Drew Carey.
That's right. Yep.
There might be
the show.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Maybe the man. I don't know. I don't know what they're up to. And there's another. There's a third person, which is probably obvious.
It's
which,
you, the viewer.
No, it's
you
not.
Get brought into the movie.
No, there's a person who they cast this role. It's not you.
Helen Mirren holds up a mirror on the screen. It doesn't work. Doesn't work at all. Maybe that's the reason this movie hasn't been doing well. Word of mouth, because I'm telling everybody. She holds it up and she's like, you, the viewer, you're the third bad guy. And I'm like, what are you doing, Helen Mirren? Are you all right?
No.
And then
you can hear me.
Then she turns off screen and she's like, David, you said this would work.
I didn't say that.
You're improvising, Helen Mirren. This is dangerous. British people shouldn't improv. Only Diedrich Bader should improv.
I agree.
Because he was on Whose Line Is It Anyway, maybe.
He probably was in that or guessed it. I don't think this movie is as strong as the first one, despite thinking it was all right.
Okay.
I didn't love it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was better than New Ant-Man, but I thought it was better than Black Adam, but I didn't think it was as good as the first one as mentioned.
What a labyrinthian web of, well, it's better than this, but not as good as this one.
This movie should have been the Black Adam introduction movie.
Probably should.
I mean, they hinted at him in the last movie 4 years ago.
Oh, they did, because there was an empty chair.
Empty chair, and you see like a little sparkly hologram of him and whatever.
That's right.
If you recall correctly.
Not really.
And there's like, there was another guy.
Actually, this movie should have been the Mr. Mind movie.
We'll go talk about that in a bit as well. Okay. But so instead of like bringing in the first Shazam and what a threat, because it's The Rock versus this 40-year-old man who's like, I'm a boy. And so he's doing that. It's just like, I don't know, like a wizard or a witch from another dimension or whatever, I guess, and they want to get a thing. It's like, well, that's not very interesting, is it?
Okay.
Don't you think?
I like this movie pretty much as much as I like the first one.
Mm.
I quite like the first one. I quite like this one. I didn't go for a Shazam one rewatch this week.
No.
But from what I remember being about this good.
It's weird, right? Because I thought there would be a real disconnect between Billy Batson as a kid and when he's the grown man Shazam in the first movie. And I thought that was like they interlinked it enough where it felt like the same character.
Uh-huh.
But now it's weird because the guy who plays Billy Batson is 20. And so he's like a young man and then he changes into like a middle-aged man.
Yes.
So it's just a man.
A middle-aged man-child.
Yeah, a man changing into another man.
Yep.
And he's just like, oh, what's happening? I don't know what I'm doing. And it's like, what the fuck? Like, they feel like two completely different people. And you said something interesting before the show.
I did. And he's admitted it.
About who you thought the kid was supposed to be, right?
From my memories of the previous one was that Zachary Levi Shazam's civilian identity was the Freddie Freeman character who actually...
Because they have the same personality.
They have the same personality, but that was my memory of it, like my recall. And then I'm like, oh, no, it's this other guy.
Yeah.
Who's, like quite a mature young man who turns into this. And it's more evident because Zachary Levi is so big in this.
Yeah.
Or seemingly so big that I'm like, oh, he's a big weird man, baby. And he's weird. He's way more immature as the God version.
Yeah. And I think,
and if somebody commented on that, if there was a subplot of this, of like,
did your brain change?
Yeah, like the wisdom of Solomon isn't working, and that's why you're so weird.
Yeah,
and man, baby, like,
yeah, exactly. And I think it's only him because there's other people in the family, and when they transform, like it's Adam Brody is the grown up Freddie Freeman, perfect.
Yeah,
and everybody else. I mean, one of them is literally the same person.
Yes,
as well. And I think all of those. You can definitely see the connection, but I think they let what's his name? The guy who plays Shazam,
Zachary Levi.
They just let him fucking Deadpool all over this,
right. Uh-huh.
And he's just not. I don't like him. I don't like him. I don't like him anymore.
Right.
He's annoying.
And it should have.
Liked him in the first one.
Right. I don't think that this bit affected my enjoyment of the movie, but I think you're absolutely right. The young guy should have been wackier or...
Yeah, weird. I think if they because just had to brought him up to,
yeah.
or bring one down, have him meet in the middle.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Maybe it's also because the young guy, he's not in it that much.
That's true.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe if we saw more of him, but
yeah. But I guess they wanted, because also Freddie Freeman is mostly civilian in his civilian identity in this movie.
Yeah.
So, and interacting with adult Shazam, kind of like mostly like in the first one. So I wonder if they're just like, well, we just need two wacky dudes being wacky together, you know?
I guess.
As is the classic comedy duo.
Two wacky
guys and no seriousness.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was just a strange kind of turn of events. But again, I shouldn't even say that I don't like him, because that's not even true. Because there's some fun moments in it, but I feel like the comedy in this isn't as good as the first one. Like that little montage where he's trying out his powers is fun.
Uh-huh.
You remember the moment where like they're both in the air and the villain, Mark Strong, is doing the speech to him and he's uh-huh. like, I can't hear you because you're like a kilometer away. Right. Like little things like I thought were really fun, and this was kind of lacking. And I guess, you know, there's a dragon in this and it's made of wood.
Is there?
And that's kind of cool. And everybody's always like, look at that.
Sure.
And that's, and again, there's Lucy Liu and Helen Mirren and a third person, who is it, who could say, I liked all their performances as well. But again, it just kind of felt like, oh, this should be a different story. I feel like, and the only
now, are you doing the thing that I often do, which is critique a movie for what it isn't, as opposed to what it is?
Well, I just think that the idea of the universe that they should have built was just derailed by The Rock at some point. And that's why we're here.
So this is The Rock's fault.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, kind of. You're probably right.
Where this should have gone in a different direction. And if you kind of, I mean, it was like when he came into The Fast and Furious and it kind of the whole thing got a revamp. You know, just the idea of bringing in a bit like a bigger name actor into this universe, I think would have done it better than just like, I don't know, this situation.
Sure, okay, right.
And it's got a dragon, as mentioned, and that was all
sure
right.
It also has a lot of shots from the final battle in the trailer. So if you're at all concerned about that, maybe.
If you love that.
Yeah, if you love that, you'll be loving this, I tell you what. You know what I liked? I liked there's some sort of monsters from Days of Yore that I thought were
– Yeah, cool.
I thought the effects were
great.
Good.
Yeah.
We got a lot of sort of – is it Ray – did Ray Harryhausen do a Cyclops?
Yes, he did.
Like a Wrath of the Titans.
We got
a sweet Cyclops and some harpies and some all sorts of minotaurs and monsters and so forth, which I thought were good. And that, you know, that was in keeping with the theme.
Yeah. It's interesting because we watched Dungeons & Dragons as well earlier in the week.
That's
got a bunch of like mythical creatures in it or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't – I think Dungeons and Dragons.
We've got to fight a bunch of mythical creatures or whatever.
I think, like, I liked the Dungeons and Dragons movie more, and we'll talk about that in a few weeks. But I didn't feel like in seeing this, I wasn't like, oh, this is awful compared to Dungeons and Dragons. Like, all that stuff that I liked. I think there was some cool magic stuff in it.
Yeah,
like,
there's
a weird magic room with a pen that can write and whatever. And all that door stuff I really enjoyed, of the doors that can go anywhere and whatever.
They've built their lair, their superhero team lair It's got that sort of Matrix thing of the infinite number of doors that go to various realms and different places in the world.
And that's fun. But then when it comes down to the end of just like, they're just like blasting each other.
Uh-huh.
And like there was so much cool kind of magic stuff that we saw. And then it's just like.
And again, Jaimon Honsu underused.
Absolutely.
As in most roles he's had.
No, I thought he got a lot of play in this and he's always good. But he even talked about this week that like, he doesn't like get paid properly for stuff, even though he's been in just every major franchise.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He's in every universe and he's always incredible. He's like an amazing actor.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, that's fine, I guess. Don't you think it's fine?
Well, it's not us. So, yeah, I guess to that extent it is fine. Were it one of us, we would be mad.
I thought it could have gone a bit heavier on the family stuff as well, because there is this kind of through line of Billy Batson is worried about turning 18 and, like, what's going to happen with his foster home and his family, and he's worried about that coming apart. I think they could have, like, leaned into that a bit more, because,
I thought
that family stuff in the first one and the idea that he'd been abandoned, and then you find out what happened to him, it's like quite heartbreaking, and I feel like this doesn't quite get there with that kind of stuff.
Do you want? Is,
I know I like everyone in his family, including his foster parents, and that. That's all great.
Do you think it's because there's so many characters that it's hard in 2 hours to?
Yeah, maybe it is. Yeah.
Cover that. Like I'm trying. Like I was thinking. Oh yeah, I like, you know, the family dynamic. But in thinking about it just now, I'm like, well, not everybody had a ton to do.
Did you like how they piled into a van, like the movie Black Adam?
Yes, I did. And the movie The Brady Bunch.
Of course, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's fair enough, yeah. There is a lot of them, yeah. Also, the original Billy Batson, Michael Gray, is in this.
I did see that.
The 70s show. Yeah. He's just standing and he's wearing the same outfit.
That's right.
He's got the same haircut.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Love all of that. A show that we did look at and loved for Caravan of Garbage a few years back. Should we do some spoilers?
Let's do some spoilers. I'm going to say best movie ever. I thought it was fun. I think if you're like, man, I want a superhero movie fix and why wouldn't you?
Yeah. I think if you want to see more of this character, you should probably. And I do as well. I think, and we'll talk about more of this in spoilers, like there's so much stuff that they hint at that could happen.
Yeah. Look, I don't know if any of the Shazam family are going to get another, I guess, team movie again.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's certainly room for Captain Marvel, Shazam, or any of them, I reckon, on a team movie.
Yeah.
They could make appearances in something else.
Absolutely.
You know? So, yeah.
Yeah.
What are you saying? Best movie ever?
Yeah. Better than Ant-Man.
Okay.
Better than Black Adam.
Is this our new rating system?
Absolutely.
Okay. We're calling it threading the needle.
Is there anything?
Is it better or worse than, where is it?
Is there anything that would be in between those two movies though?
So better than, well, I mean, that the question there is, because mine would be different to yours, I think.
Yeah.
Because for me, if a movie would have to be, to thread that needle, it'd have to be worse than Black Adam, but better than Ant-Man. Because Black Adam's above Ant-Man for me.
Okay, yeah.
So
I don't know. I don't even know where I'd.
Yeah.
I don't know anything.
None of us know everything, James. That's why we do podcasts.
Anyways, Mason, big spoilers and cameos.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, apparently there was a shot that David F. Sandberg talked about this where there's a dome that goes over the city at one point.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like in the television show.
We can say it about the end of the second act, James, because we're in spoilers.
That's true.
We don't have to be vague. We can say whenever it is. We can give time codes.
End of the second act.
Maybe.
Isn't it like first act?
Maybe.
And then they're like, we're stuck in this.
Yeah, probably.
And no one's panicking. I'd be panicking big time.
Yeah, but like, how the heck?
Anyway, it's like under the dome.
I'd be in the sewers trying to get my way out through the
dig
sewers.
Dig your way out. Yeah. I think they thought of that, Mason.
I think
you think you're being clever, but you're not.
I'd ride a toilet crocodile.
Would
to
you?
My freedom.
Okay, well, that's cool, I guess. But apparently there was going to be like a long shot of like either Batman or Superman like trying to get in the dome.
Ah.
You wouldn't see who, like, which actor it was.
Okay, right.
You know, recurring gag.
Yeah, okay,
movies
sure.
Is that you don't use anybody's face. And I like
it's
that.
It's the Adam West gloves. It's sure. those satiny navy blue gloves.
I love that.
And he's like, I can't get through.
But Shazam is having a dream.
He's doing the double-handed punch.
Yeah, that's right.
Can't get through from thy double-handed punch.
That's the big one. Throws his
going sock pal.
Throws his batarang up and it just slides off.
Clunk.
So he's having a dream and he's dreaming he's on a date with Wonder Woman or whatever, and they're just going to make it work. And then his face, and you never see Wonder Woman's face, and it's like a bit of a big gag. And then it's revealed that it's a wizard, and he's warning him about the return of Lucy Liu and Helen Mirren. Mm. And Rachel Zegler is the third one.
Oh, we can say it now because we're in spoilers. Thank goodness. Relief.
I know.
The one new character that was introduced
in
Freddie Freeman's life turns out to be the villain.
6,000 years old as well. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's weird because so much of the civilian scenes, like the school scenes, it's Freddie Freeman, but the superhero stuff, I'm still not 100% convinced that they're not the same character.
Sure, yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So,
because it's not like a Spider-Man movie. It's Peter Parker swinging on webs in the city, and then we cut to the school, and it's a different actress doing all the rom-com stuff.
It's
Tom Holland.
Absolutely.
It's Tom Holland.
It's always Tom Holland. So, I don't know if you saw, but the scene when Wonder Woman actually shows up in this movie.
That's correct.
And I was like, she's just not in the same room as anybody here.
Sure. Uh-huh.
But I saw there was some behind-the-scenes images, and it was a stand-in who filmed there, and apparently then, and someone was like, did they deepfake her? And David F. Sandberg said, we shot the scene with Taylor as a stand-in to figure out it was Taylor Cahill was her name, to figure out what coverage we then needed to get with Gal. Since we she couldn't make it to Atlanta. It was also Taylor's body with the wizard's head on it. There's absolutely no deep fake going on when you see Gal. It's 100% her. So, but you never see them interact,
right,
really.
Uh-huh, sure. Uh-huh.
So it did feel like she was just kind of like, hello, everybody, I'm here. And they're like, oh, Wonder Woman's here.
Also, she shows up like it's very much like it's like the definition of a deus ex machina.
Yeah.
Because Billy Batson dies.
Yes.
For real, he dies.
Yeah, he real dies.
And then they're like, how do we get out of this? Oh, well, let's literally have a god show up and go, well, I've reactivated your magic and now you can bring him back from the dead.
Yeah.
All right.
Someone pointed out that she's not a real god. She's a demigod.
Yeah,
like,
I was going to say,
work,
yeah.
But I don't
care.
I don't care.
But there
care.
Was no, like, so what are the rules on this?
Yeah.
What are the, Can that stick bring anybody back or just the champions? Or
it's a great question.
Can it bring him back again?
That's a great question.
Can it
get him a third movie?
No.
No.
Slightly different riff at the end.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just felt like nobody's here.
Sure, yeah. Scene. And look, I'm glad that the character didn't die. But
yeah,
I just,
no, sure, yeah.
It just felt odd. And also, where was she? I know that's a question.
Outside the dome.
Oh, yeah. Okay, question answered.
It was good they locked down that city.
Yeah,
I thought that was a pretty clever way of being no one's doing nothing here, are they?
See, if this movie were a big hit, then every subsequent Marvel and DC movie would have somebody locking down the city.
Yeah.
To just allay all those questions. Well, I'm sorry, locked down the city.
They locked it down, mate.
Explains why the Avengers weren't there and locked down the city.
Do you want to talk about the post-credits or other things in spoilers?
I'd like to talk about it, yeah.
Okay, so the post-credits, it's two members of the Peacemaker Suicide Squad show.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Turn up. It's Jennifer Holland and Steve
Economos.
Yes.
John Economos.
That's right. And they walk up to see Shazam, who's just blasting bottles at a gas station for some reason. Yeah. And they're like, do you want to join the Justice Society? And he's like, well, I'm very horny. And will Wonder Woman be in it? And yeah. I like this scene. I thought it was I like every.
What do they have to do with the Justice Society?
Well,
though?
That's funny you should say that, because I have a tweet here from David S. Sandberg who said they were supposed to be the Justice Society members, but when that fell apart at the last minute, we had to improvise.
Oh, so it's supposed to be like a Hawkman and
whoever, yeah.
Yeah, right.
This happened way before Gunn became boss. I know a lot of people think it was his idea, but it wasn't.
Because his wife is Jennifer Holland.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that in a sec as well. I'm happy we could use his character.
We're going to get into the salacious gossip segment of the podcast.
I'm happy we could use his character since I love Peacemaker. Peter Safran, who also produced Peacemaker, pulled some favors. As a fan, I was happy to have him in the movie, even though it's perhaps a bit weird that they're the ones recruiting for the Justice Society.
So, of course, Jennifer Holland's character, whose name I couldn't recall for $1 billion, even though I think you just said it, she's in Black Adam.
Yes.
And so, and when the Justice Society bring in Black Adam, they take him to a Task Force X, Argus, underwater jail situation. So she's involved in that way.
Which makes more sense. I think.
But she's
Amelia Hardcourt.
She's not in the Justice Society, but I guess maybe. It felt like in Black Adam, the Justice
Society. I mean, Justice Society is run by Amanda Waller, I guess.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh.
Or not.
I thought it was run by Hawkman. I thought it was his, like, independent kind of organization.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe the Justice... I mean,
you
I guess...
should watch that movie again. I won't.
No.
oh, really? Because you liked it?
No, I probably will. When's it free? Maybe the Justice Society, like, it's meant to look like an independent organization. Here we go. We're no-prizing this.
Mm.
Maybe it's meant to look like an independent organization, but it's actually Argus's sort of public-facing organization. It's like a competitor to the Justice League.
Okay.
Like, we can't control the Justice League, but if we had our own team.
Right.
Maybe,
okay,
maybe
you're right.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm just checking if I've got any information on this. Screen Rant will know, Mason.
Oh, yes. If they have anything on how to explain the ending to The Dark Knight or something.
The film's team has been working for Amanda Waller.
Okay.
So there you go. So it was Amanda Waller, apparently.
Yeah, okay. I do remember that, yeah.
So there you go. I don't remember it, but now we know.
Yeah. She does say who's on the – she does – I think they contact Hawkman and be like, who's on your team this time or whatever.
I didn't stay around for the second scene. I Googled it and it's like Mr. Mind. And,
it is, yeah.
And
so I was like, eh. So it's Mark Strong is still in his jail cell.
He's got his weird eye?
No, both his eyes are fairly normal, but he's got a beard.
That's cool.
And he's got glasses, I think. And Mr. Mind is there and he's like, I'm back and I've been working on this plan and – Savannah's like, it's been 2 years, wink to the audience. It's only been 2 years.
Nice.
It's only been 2 years. It's 2021 now.
Is it?
Where we are.
That's wink. Where, yeah, okay,
or
cool.
Or the previous movie was set in 2021. Wink.
Wink.
And then Mr. Mind's like, but I still need more time to work on the plan, and he slithers off.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, we'll never see him again.
You know what?
Maybe we will.
Time will tell. What if this is the best running gag ever? What if every DC movie from this point forward cuts to Mark Strong? They just record 20, and it's just Mark Strong in a room. He's going increasingly crazy. His beard keeps getting longer and longer, and he's getting all raggedy. and then Mr. Mind shows up, and he just, I just need a little bit more time. And then next time, and maybe Savannah's like, he's changed his life or something. He's all cleaned up, and he's getting another degree. He's getting a teaching degree so he can go out and do good work or something, and it's... You know, we have this whole drama in post-credits and it's never resolved. How about that? I would love that.
It's like the Mr. Poopy Butthole
Yes.
But it's Dr. Zavada.
Yes.
And a caterpillar. Mm. I would love that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the future, though.
All right. There's going to be flying cars,
so,
I reckon.
Well, that's right. So that post-credits talks about how they're going to make him, he wants to be, they want him a member of the Justice Society.
That's right.
And he's like, what's that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a boy.
That's confusing.
That's confusing, yeah. And there was complaints that James Gunn has been casting his wife in all of these movies. But he came out and said, the only DC movie I've ever cast my wife in was The Suicide Squad. I had nothing to do with the casting of any of the other movies. Anything else was shot a year or so ago while I was deep in Volume 3.
But are you saying that she was in a movie behind my back? What?
But I know some
Shazam,
of you...
Shazam, that pile of garbage. I'll have words with her later.
But I know some of you are deeply in need of reasons to hate. Also, nobody complained when James Gunn puts his brother in literally every movie.
That's true.
Also...
Or his other brother.
Or his cousin.
Or the third brother.
Exactly. Also, I think she's great.
Yeah.
And she's great in Peacemaker.
Yeah.
And...
She's like, she's like,
if she was bad, I guess I could see the complaint, but
she's you know, a good character. She is good with the martial arts, I think.
Yeah.
Or I don't know, maybe
she's the... quick with a joke and to light up your smoke.
Precisely.
Yeah.
But there's some place she'd rather be.
Better movie.
A better movie.
Do you think
do you think they get with Peacemaker season 2? I think the thing I want to know most of all is what are they gonna do with the intro sequence?
Okay, sure.
Because everybody dies. Spoiler alert for Peacemaker. You haven't seen it, but it's too late. But pretty much everybody in that series died, and everybody's in the opening sequence.
Yeah, that's true.
Including the janitor who's in Shazam 2.
Really?
He's the guy who is in
a different guy?
Yeah, he's the guy in the museum who gets turned to stone.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I've just made that connection now.
Holy hell, you're right.
Yeah.
Damn. Continuity sucks, Mason.
Why? Because they're in the same universe. I just...
Well, they're collapsing this universe in on itself.
That's true.
Do
so
you
it doesn't
think,
matter.
Though, I think going forward,
yes.
There is absolutely a fair chance that the character of Shazam in this incarnation will stick around.
Yeah.
And they'll put him in a team every now and then. They'll trot him out just to see if people...
They'll trot him out. They'll check his teeth. They'll examine his teeth for quality. still good, yes, good.
Brush his coat. Have him eat a carrot. But I think there's a chance that we could get a Justice Assault. I thought that this was an additional thing that that James Gunn might have put in leading into something else.
Yeah.
But this is obviously filmed earlier. So... Before that, so who knows if we're going to get Justice Society movie anytime
soon. I would honestly love a Justice Society movie. I don't think you particularly loved the last team. Did you?
I liked Hawkman and Dr. Fate.
Right.
But the other two I could take away.
Yeah, right. But
put Shazam in.
Put Shazam in, that would be perfect. Yeah.
I think it also would work better when...
And he could do some meta commentary. He could be like, oh, so you two both related to ancient Egypt. Do you know... You didn't know Black Adam. You never met him, even though you're both thousands of years old. This is your first time. That was your first time meeting Black Adam. Really? That's interesting. You two, of all the members of the Justice Society, you two went in to the Middle East and you met, but you'd never met him before.
Never met him.
Even though you're all magic and you're all thousands of years old. It's weird. I'm Shazam. Also, his name's Shazam?
Yeah,
exactly. How's he going to explain that to the press?
Well, yeah, because he will turn back into a man.
And turn him into
a different man.
A boy man. He'll change back from a man boy to a boy man.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, what is this? I guess they'll just have to say, sometimes you can say Shazam.
You've got to say it with intent or...
Yeah, maybe.
Whatever,
I don't really know.
Yeah.
So it should be Captain Marvel. I think it'd be a funnier bit if he's like, I'm called Captain Marvel.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, they said the Avengers in this.
They said the Avengers. Which
something
is,
like that.
There's some variation on that, yeah. I think they said the Avengers, but the Uma Thurman one with Ralph Fiennes.
That's right.
I think that's how they got away with it, they said.
British Avengers.
Got a couple of tweets here from people who went along and they sent us these tweets. It's from Ben Berkowitz, who says, had fun with Shazam 2, but can we sign, a petition making sure the phrase, let's end this / this ends here.
Mm.
So getting rid of that, # Weekly Thunderpod. Maybe. And Nate Harris says, it's impossible to ignore this forgettable movie is made even more irrelevant.
It's impossible to ignore a forgettable movie? I don't think so.
Well, Mason, I'm just reading what's said here.
Okay.
It's made even more irrelevant by the pending universe reset. Dead on arrival, worst movie ever.
Mm. Brutal. Look.
I thought it was all
right. No, see, here's the thing. The problem here, as I mentioned earlier, is that thinking is kind of prevalent.
Yeah.
And I don't disagree with it. If you've spent a decade plus saying all of these movies are connected and then you say, and this is the end one, people are going to be like, why bother?
Yeah.
You know, it's as opposed to, you know, just I feel like some of these, especially Quantumania, this Black Adam, it's like picking up an issue of a comic book.
Yeah.
And going, I don't necessarily know or understand what any of this is connected to, but is it good on its own? And sometimes the answer is yes.
And sometimes
the answer is this was fine.
Yeah. Apparently David F. Sandberg is going to do like a small horror thing after this because he basically did two Shazam movies in a row.
Uh-huh.
And his horror movies are great. But I also like I wouldn't be surprised if he popped up to do some other stuff in the DCU because I think he would be good at that and
yes.
has proven to be. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, should we move it along?
Rizwan Manji is the name of the gentleman who's both the – he's now in two roles in the DC.
Maybe they're twins.
Maybe they're twins.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you're right.
Do you know what it's time for, though?
What's it time for?
What are we reading?
What are we going to read?
Woo!
Woo!
I'm doing a thing. What are we reading today? Here we tell the truth.
Tell
the truth about things we've been doing.
Okay, all
right. Like how you leaked that stuff to Reddit or whatever.
I cannot tell a lie. Twas me. Ah ha ha ha.
Very good.
Ah ha.
I'll probably talk about this more next week if I end up buying it because apparently it's amazing. But I played the demo for Resident Evil 4 Remake.
Oh, yeah, right.
I think I'm going to be one of those guys who waits on games, or I'm going to try to be, instead of being like, oh, I'll get this thing and I'll never play it.
Instead of being the ultimate hardcore gamer.
That, which is me. Yes. Which actually, to be fair, I'm not really that either. But I played Resident Evil 2 Remake
and I was
in a police building for too long and I...
Excuse me? What about in the game, James?
Mason, it was in the game.
You're bloody lineup, mate.
You're using my words against me.
You're bloody lineup.
Yes, I did a big crime and I had to do a lineup. Yeah. But then I played the video game. And there was too many, like, you'd get to a door and it was locked and it's like, find the key. And I'm like, you find the key.
Whoa.
But I know people liked it. But apparently this new, and I love Resident Evil 4, so a better version of that would be great. What I have been playing, Mason, for real.
Oh, yes.
I went into an Ebb Games earlier this week.
Oh, an Ebb Games.
By the way, big shout out to the two gentlemen who served me who listened to this, I think, potentially.
A couple of Ebb Games boys.
A couple of Ebb Games boys.
It was
Ling and another person who didn't have a name tag, so I didn't get his name. But that's not to say that they don't have a name.
You think he hid his name tag?
Yeah.
So you couldn't see it?
Yeah. But he knew my name.
Interesting.
Which was very rude.
You know, you don't commonly wear a name tag.
No, he knew me, though.
Interesting. Except maybe you're wearing your McDonald's crew shirt from my crew shirt. From several, like a decade plus ago, yes. 15, 20 years ago. Maybe you were wearing that.
From 2 years ago, yes.
Hello, my name is Surly James.
Anyway, I realised, Mason, that I'd played original Killzone on the PlayStation 2 and Killzone Liberation on the PSP and then Killzone 2 and Killzone 3 on the PlayStation 3 and then I played Killzone Mercenary on the PS Vita, which I think is probably one of the best handheld shooters ever made.
Interesting.
It's incredible. And even the touchscreen stuff is good.
Is Killzone the one?
With the red eyes and the Nazi outfit, orange eyes and the Nazi outfit.
Is it because the aliens invade during World War II or something?
No,
is that the plot
no, they're thinking of Resistance, Mason. You're thinking of the Resistance franchise, which was a different PlayStation exclusive franchise that also went across onto the PS Vita and PSP incarnations.
I am thinking of that.
That's what you're thinking of, Mason.
And I'm thinking that the next time you mention Killzone, I'm going to ask you the exact same question.
That's a good question to ask.
That's a good question to ask, right?
Anyways, I realized I'd never played Killzone 4. So I was like, I watched a retrospective on, what's that, GameViz, but it's a V? You know that YouTube channel?
No.
It's really good.
Sounds very return, but it's a V.
It is.
You know, people are all return.
Return.
You know those guys, those freaks?
I do know those freaks.
Always got a philosopher's head, a stone philosopher's head.
That's cool.
Yeah.
They're my people, and that's cool.
Well, they're like, we should go back to when women can't drive or whatever, and you're like.
Oh, is that what they do? Yeah. No, I don't agree with that, actually.
Yeah.
You tricked me then.
I did trick you, but that's what you think.
So it's Killzone Shadow 4, which is Killzone 4, is like 10 years old, but I went and I got it. By the way, $8. What a bargain.
There it is, all right.
And it's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like obviously like it's cross-generational in terms of like it was like I think it was either a launch title or one of the very first games. It's from 2013 on the PlayStation 4. This what I liked about those other games, there's like a weight to the way that you move. It's like and this kind of does away with that, which I don't like.
Okay, right.
But it's still a pretty solid shooter. I also think like first-person shooters haven't done much in 10 years looking at this.
Yeah, right, uh-huh.
Except for maybe Titanfall 2, which is probably the best single-player campaign.
Titanfall 2. That is
an amazing game.
Even I've played Titanfall 2. Yeah. It's great. And there's the time travel level.
There's the time travel level
and then never again.
And then they made that online thing that people play instead or whatever. And now then they'll never be Titanfall 3.
Because I was excited for that game Atomic Heart. which is sort of Soviet Union steampunk cyberpunk
kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of thing. And then I watched some gameplay footage of it, and there was a lot of hand-to-hand combat that didn't really feel.
Yeah, okay.
It didn't feel kind of visceral, or it felt like you're just swiping.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not what. No. I want to feel the impact.
You hit someone with a pipe and their jaw comes
off. Yes, exactly. Like Doom has spoiled that, I think.
You're
like
right,
that is the pinnacle, probably Doom and Doom Eternal and the
visceral kind of.
You put a spike through somebody's head and they go whoop,
whoop,
you know?
Don't.
Come on.
Yeah.
Too late.
Anyways, Killzone.
Doom guy says too late.
Too late. I've done it.
I've done it. I don't do it again.
Killzone franchise.
Yep.
Pretty amazing. Right. Kind of underrated though. It was kind of marketed. Well, the first one's not great. It's kind of marketed as this kind of this like Halo killer.
Right.
And it never quite got there, but it's always been really consistent. And the portable titles, the PSP one is an isometric shooter.
Right.
It's really good. If you have a PS Vita or a PSP,
I don't.
You
can still no get one it. Does. It's just you.
But if you do. Get one.
Okay.
I have it on the PS Vita too because I downloaded it again.
Wow.
It's because I like that.
Recently?
Yeah, like a year or so ago.
That store is still open?
They nearly closed now. I think that's why I downloaded it. Now it's still open. I have Metal Gear Solid 1 and 2 on the PlayStation Vita.
Wow.
Which I've never played.
Huh.
But I just have it. I've gotten God of War 1 and 2 original on the PS Vita, which I've never played. I just bought for no reason because I thought they were collapsing.
Because you thought it would make you cool.
Yeah, and look,
and it
worked.
You know what I'm going to read tomorrow? I haven't read it yet, but I didn't finish. I read the first couple of issues, but the hardcover is out now, so I'm gonna get it and read it. It's Batman 89, the full.
The
full thing.
I should do that.
By original movie writer Sam Hamm.
He's back
with Joe Quinones and Leonardo Ito, and it's the first issue or two I read. Delightful, the continuing adventures of Mr. Michael Keaton Batman.
He's back.
Yeah,
man. Also, speaking of comics, our Big Sandwich Comic Classic Book Club is up this week, and it's on Ultra Mega, which is a really gross and grotty kaiju Ultraman kind of comic
situation. Yeah.
If you are interested in checking that out.
Oh, and I listened to Andy Donna's podcast this week. It's called Kevin Figgy, and it's I know it's not, but it feels like the character was created just to upset me. But it's very funny. It's
maybe they did do that.
Can you what do you imagine a character called Kevin Figgy is about?
I mean, it's Kevin Feige, right?
Yes, but he produces a subset of the Marvel Universe that's all about figs.
Okay.
And he wears a fig atop his head as if it were a hat.
Sounds really good.
It's extremely funny. It's a funny episode. People should. I don't know if there is a ton of crossover between listeners of us and the Auntie Donna podcast, but I think
there would be some.
Yeah, I think there would be some.
Yeah.
And there should be.
I agree.
Some.
Should we move to the next segment of the show?
I mean, eventually. Somebody gets into gear and off their bloody ass and finds the Weekly Planet letters theme before we're doing the letters segment right now.
Mason, are you referring to yourself?
Yes. It's not loading. The classic one was letters. Woo! Oh, letters. Woo! We love you. Ah. Some letters.
Boo?
Only ooh.
Boo again. Second boo. Just boos now. Boo.
Now.
Boo.
What are you booing?
This. Boo.
The podcast?
Boo this segment.
The segment itself. Yeah. Why? You love the listeners.
I do. Mm. If you do want to reach the show, because we love you, hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod on Twitter or WeeklyPlanetPod@gmail.com. Mason. Do you have anything from the Gmail you've dragged up this week?
This is an email from Tyler.
Tyler,
this is a minor incident involving the pod.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Meso and Jim.
What?
That's you.
Don't do that.
Today, while I was cooking, an unfortunate series of events happened, which ended with my Weekly Planet mug breaking, my one and only piece of merch from the pod. It's been one of my go-to mugs for years now, and it was a big bummer. Now, I'm not sure if you can count this as a pod-related accident.
I think it counts.
Since I wasn't actually listening when it happened.
I'll allow it.
But I figured I should let you know for the official tally. When I was looking for a replacement mug, it got me wondering if you guys will ever be dropping more merch or designs.
Yeah, probably.
And listen, since 2015 and love supporting you. Thanks for all the great content over the years and come to the official broken mug man of the pod. Yes, but we are going to imagine you as a mug man. And you're broken.
And you're broken. Oh, no, that's bad news.
Yeah. Here's a photo. He's provided photo evidence. He wasn't lying. Unless, of course.
Devastating.
Unless,
news.
Of course, he's broken it deliberately for clout and content. Well, in which case, I say, bless you. Because I was hurting for letters, and I really appreciate that. Are we doing more merch? I would love to do, and I say this every time as if it were a joke, but it's real. I would love to take out the Batman v Superman episode and put it on vinyl.
Take it out completely?
No.
Feed.
No, we'd leave it in the feed, although I suppose people could listen to it for free.
Yeah, I guess they could.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
But I put it on vinyl, I think.
It would be.
I don't know if we could put the Batman logo on there.
Yeah, why not? We have our own design.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
Claire did some vinyl recently. It's possible.
We have a. I do believe we have a Weekly Planet logo, which is us as Batman and Superman from that thing. So we could put that on the liner notes.
Sure.
I would love to do that. If there's a service that does like print. Like, we do pre-orders.
Yeah.
And then people would buy it.
Well, we probably could do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I won't do it, but somebody...
Yeah, see, that's the...
Somebody set that up is not
See, that's
me.
The... Because Claire, as you know, James, perhaps you don't know, but your wife, Claire, produces an album...
What?
And printed up merch and T-shirts and all this sort of stuff. And so now she's in a position where anybody orders one, she has to pack it up and ship it out.
She's now got a friend helping her with that.
Nice.
Because, yeah, that's a big reason why we go through, like... Redbubble or whatever we do. What do we do again?
Redbubble, yeah.
Yeah.
And TeePublic?
Yeah, because it's I don't want to handle anything physically.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Sure.
That includes people.
You don't like being handed anything.
No, I just can't. I can't with that shit. I just don't want it. It's just an extra thing I don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There you go.
Anyways, Mason, I've got a tweet here from Ed Day who says, # Weekly Planet Pod. Gents, do you think there is more of a chance of a Batgirl coming out? That now that Brendan Fraser has won an Oscar?
I was just thinking about that earlier, and probably not.
Yeah.
For like, we would like to think that, I would say, because we don't deal with billion-dollar transactions.
Yeah.
And our lives are about enjoying things and not doing stuff for tax reasons.
Exactly.
But the people involved.
It would cost them more money if they released it because the whole thing's a tax write-off, et cetera. I think there's more of a chance, but I think there's more of a chance it will leak.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Interesting question. Mason, why don't you make a merch? You make a big merch for us.
Oh, yeah?
Like a T-shirt, I don't know.
Maybe I could hand make mugs.
You could.
I could take a pottery class and I could sell individual mugs.
I know
mugs.
Someone who does that.
Huh.
Which means
it's bad
possible.
Mugs to be
Yeah,
clear.
That'd be bad, yeah.
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 But you could.
I could do it. That's true.
Mm. What else, Mason?
Here's an email from Michael.
What?
He says, I met a comic icon and told him about you guys.
Who?
Well, you'll find out in a moment.
Oh.
Hey, boys, long-time listener, but this is my first time writing in.
I don't believe you.
I mean, that's what it says.
Okay. I'm just saying I don't believe it.
Okay, right. Right. I'm a Canadian film student near Toronto who just attended Comic-Con where I met Peter J. Tomasi. He signed my copy of Batman and Robin Born to Kill.
Oh, yeah.
Which we could do on the Book Club. What are you doing?
I don't believe him, Mason.
He's doing an I don't believe you motion. The universal symbol. Oh, I don't believe.
No,
you.
I believe you.
Very happy to say he was a nice guy and kept a smile on his face as I shamelessly plugged the podcast to him while wearing my Dr. Dreikel Dracula shirt. Speaking of merch, like the
correct.
Awful nerd that I am. Photo down below. There is no photo. Hopefully he's listening right now. Can I be the official shameless Canadian plug of the podcast? Thank you.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I hope that worked.
I mean, yeah, Peter J. Tomasi done a bunch of stuff. A lot of DC stuff.
Yeah, a lot of DC.
Batman and Robin the Outsiders, some Green Lantern, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, that's really
tremendous.
Cool. And nice man.
Yeah.
By all accounts from this email.
I feel he's done probably some indie work as well. Maybe I'm imagining that.
Yeah, maybe he's only ever done big DC books. Yeah, I'm looking at his Wikipedia, and it seems to be all DC stuff, like Super Sons and
Super Sons
Showcase.
Is great, tremendous.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking of him from.
Got
for sure.
He did GI Combat. There you go.
Oh,
but that's also a DC thing.
Oh,
fun stuff. Got another tweet here, Mason.
Go on.
If you could just harass people and tell them our podcast.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Even recite some of the jokes.
It definitely. Yeah.
Or some of the reviews that we do. That'd be good.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe a news segment.
Some of the arguments we have.
Yeah. Impenetrable references.
Maybe if you could just, recite one of those points where we just, neither of us really knows what we're saying and we just kind of, we get stuck in a review and we don't really know how to describe the thing we're feeling and one of us is just like, what? And then, the vibe.
Yeah. And then the other one says Hermes and Darkus, which is a character from Ship to Shore.
Oh, okay,
which is an impenetrable reference.
That's a good reference. That's a good reference.
Mason, this is from Rogery RRR, who says, # Weekly Planet Pod. What wrong lesson will Hollywood learn from the award success of Everything Everywhere All at Once? Is it multiverse stuff, Mason? Is it?
I feel like maybe not.
You don't think they're going to learn anything?
I mean,
do you think?
They're not going to learn anything. They're not going to learn it correctly.
Do you think? I mean, the thing to learn from that would be, hey, maybe there's some talent in areas that you haven't looked before,
right?
From actors from. From now or the past.
Yeah.
And maybe if you write something unique and cool, then it could do well. Do you think they'll learn that?
No.
Okay. A different thing.
I guess. See, the thing.
Hot dog finger? Wackiness?
Oh, whimsy.
I know, like, we're already in big multiverse at the moment.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not sure that...
Is that a charger?
Yes.
You got a full portable charger there, Mason?
Yeah, because my phone was dead before.
Is that illegal?
Yeah, it's a crime.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Mm. But, I mean, you know, now that I'm engaging in this life of crime because I leaked that thing.
You did, yeah. Or you know who leaked it or whatever.
Yeah, both of those things. Well, I know it's me. Of course I know who leaked it. It's me. What are we talking about? Oh, yeah, Marvel's already engaged in the multiverse and DC's in the multiverse. And yep. I think they're probably the industry's waiting with bated breath to see if people are still interested in this sort of thing generally.
And we will see, won't we?
But I'm not sure. The Daniels who directed that, they turned down Marvel to do it, right?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they had some
opportunity. We didn't really talk about the Oscars.
Well, it's now. We can talk about it now.
That's true.
Good stuff.
There we go. All right.
I thought
there
were some good people who won some things and whatever.
Mm, for sure.
But I didn't watch it or care. Mm. But it was up 12% on last year, and that might be a slap situation.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's very true.
What do you have to say about it?
Nothing really. None of it really surprised me, I don't think. It was nice to see Michelle Yeoh
get an
award.
Yeah.
And it was like, Kei Huan as well. It was sort of they and Brendan Fraser, they all won awards, and like we're all acting kind of like they're like fresh faced babes in the woods who've never done anything in their lives, though they've all had like full careers. And you know Michelle Yeoh was like an action star for decades in Hong Kong, and so was Kei Huy Quan, and you know, and he did like and also he's been behind the scenes for a long time as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Anyway, what do you think about that?
I think it's good.
Same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no lessons learned.
No lessons. We didn't learn any lessons. I don't know. Multiverse, no. Whimsy, maybe. Probably more Asian representation in Hollywood.
You're saying that's the wrong thing?
James, I'm very clearly saying that's the right thing, all right?
Yeah.
We mentioned off air, we saw the trailer for Beef.
Yeah.
With...
There was another
Stephen Ewan and Ali Wong, which looks very. It's supposed to be a comedy drama, but it looks very dark.
About a
road rage incident that goes wrong, and then they give up their lives essentially to pursue this beef forever.
Yeah, that's
I'm
right.
excited to watch.
There's
that.
Also a trailer for Joyride, which has got an all Asian cast, which looks good. Also,
and there's another thing that has Stephanie Hsu in it coming up soon. It's a family thing, and it looks interesting.
The one I'm talking about, where they go to China or whatever?
No. It's something, family something. I'll look it up.
Okay.
Anyway, maybe that'll be it.
Maybe it will be.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the show?
It's the whole show, mate. Wow. It's the whole show, mate.
Well,
what do you think about that?
It's about time, I reckon.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. It's about time, I think.
It's about time.
It is about
time. Time says 17 minutes, so it's about time.
It's about time, yeah.
Full time, it says an hour and a half.
Well, so. We took some breaks in between. Obviously, I
true
get
we did.
Et cetera. But please continue.
Folks, thank you so much for listening to the pod. We appreciate it. Thank you for telling your friends about it, be they mere mortals or legendary comic writers and artists.
Whoa.
We'll take either. Or celebrities.
Celebrities?
That's right.
Go on.
Or thank you also for giving us a 5-star review on your podcast catcher of choice.
I just brought them up now, Mason, because I realized I didn't gather them. So as you were talking, I subtly
got
them.
You smooth as silk.
Because I was doing this.
Yeah. Oh, I also listened to Broden's podcast, his new podcast.
Oh, his football
the
podcast.
The footy.
Yeah.
It's Broden Kelly. Didn't understand it. Don't know anything about football.
But you loved it?
It's pretty good.
Excellent.
Good conversation. It's
him and Tom.
It's Broden and Tom Armstrong who does all of Auntie Don's music. So
and this podcast.
Yes.
Very good.
Yeah.
Mason, if you didn't read a review show, do it in app, just like Larry did, who said
Larry.
Just gave us 5 stars.
That's a
by
name
the way.
You don't hear often these days.
I agree. Mm-hmm. It's a good name. It's a good strong name, and it's a good strong review.
Mm.
5 stars says, if you let something go and it comes back. So preface, I used to listen to this podcast while working my past job. Absolutely loved it, and had a coworker also listened. For some reason I stopped listening. Fast forward years later, I am back and listening again like a ham. I mean madmen. I know this journey through all the content. Because John Hamm, I guess.
Yes.
Journey through all the content I missed over the years and it never felt better. Something must have been wrong with me since I stopped listening. Anyways, it's a top-notch program that isn't for everyone, but
what?
Is mostly for everyone.
I've been told Cheers. It's for everyone.
Oh, cool. And this one is from Grazi23.
Grazi.
Ha, 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 fantastic. Tom doing my best to die tragically in a Mission Impossible stunt cruise impression. Very good. 2 5-star reviews, which I read
Love
out. I'm going to read them all out. Just
Grazie.
Give me time. Grazie.
That's what I say.
Obviously.
Folks, thank you very much for that. If you want to get in contact with us, you can go to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com. At Facebook, Twitter, and Bandcamp, you can go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group. You can go to the Weekly Planet Podcast Discord and subreddit.
Whoa!
That's right. If you want to follow some people on the socials, first of all, follow our friend Rob Collins, who edits this podcast and does all sorts of social medias and video editing and all kinds of stuff. He gets amongst it. That's what we'd say about him.
I agree with you.
He gets amongst it. He's at Raw Collings on Twitter. He's also at The Weekly Planet on Twitter. If you must, you can follow us. I'm Wikipedia Brown on Twitter and Nick Mace on Instagram. James is Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere.
I certainly am.
He's also on that episode of Confessions.
I am.
If you forgot
from earlier, or you're starting the podcast now.
That's right. If you start at the credits and stop after the credits, well, there it is. Let's see. If you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies. Chuck in a buck. Or go to BigSandwich.co for $9 per month. Bonus podcast, movie commentaries, early videos, all sorts of stuff. Maybe some Let's Plays at some point.
I completely agree.
Maybe.
Do you think?
Yeah.
There will be.
Yeah, there will be.
I think so, yeah. We'll try it out.
Let's see. You can go to tpublic.com if you want to buy a Weekly Planet t-shirt or a mug.
I agree.
Maybe. Redbubble. Yeah.
One of mug. Them. I don't know. They're out there.
And IKEA, buy a mug.
Buy a mug.
Your local supermarket.
Get
probably
Mason
has
a mug too. He doesn't have any mugs.
Yes.
Yeah. Even though it looks like a bloody mug.
I got a bloody mug in this bloody room. It's James. He's a mug at this table.
Hey, don't say that.
God.
Don't say that, Mason.
He's a bloody mug.
Don't say that, I said.
I didn't say anything. I just mumbled non-verbally.
Ah! My microphone nearly fell onto me. That's never happened before.
Yeah, I saw that. I've been practicing.
Yeah, go on.
Thank you to the Brute and the Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes. Next week, a different thing. It's a movie extravaganza.
It really
it's
is.
It's another movie
John
coming
Wick
out,
coming out.
John Wick 4 with a late Lance Reddick.
Apparently it's very long, but people are like, the best.
All right.
So that's good.
All right.
Looking forward to seeing that.
Ooh, our pal Comic Tropes, Chris from Comic Tropes, has just put up a video on the Spider-Man musical.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah,
I actually bought a book to read on that because I thought about doing a video on it.
Too late.
It's too late. He's done it. So now I don't have to read that book. Thank God.
That's right.
Thank God.
God,
thank
can you imagine reading a book?
Thank you, Comic Tropes. You've saved me the hassle. All right, let's get out of here.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.